stories, Israeli soldiers kill a Palestinian in the occupied West Bank. Palestinians say the victim was heading home from work when he was shot dead. Lebanese Prime Minister designate Najib Mirati says fulfilling people's basic demands is among his top priorities in forming a cabinet. And people gather in the Italian capital to demonstrate against the government's new coronavirus restrictions. And those were the top stories. Welcome. Israeli forces have fatally shot a Palestinian man in the north of the occupied West Bank. The Palestinian health ministry said 41-year-old Shadi Omar Lutfi Salim was shot near the town of Beita. Local residents say there were no protests or disturbances when regime forces opened fire at the man. According to witnesses, the Palestinian man was heading home from work before getting shot. The incident comes just days after Israeli soldiers stormed the town, killing a Palestinian teenager. Author and activist Eve Engler says people who live in the West need to pressure their governments to put a stop to Israel's habit of killing Palestinians with impunity.
Well, I think we can describe it as unfortunately, all too common experience for Palestinians. Israeli forces act with impunity. And they kill Palestinians on a semi-regular basis, and it gets almost no attention in the Western media. I think that the countries that are doing so much to sponsor Israeli dispossession of Palestinians, notably the U.S., Canada, Britain, that people that live in those countries force our governments to stop providing a whole list of different forms of support for Israel.
Lebanese Prime Minister designate Najib Mirati says fulfilling people's basic demands is among his top priorities in fulfilling, in actually forming, the future government.
The presence of the state is to reassure the citizens to feel the presence of an official who takes care of them and asks about them, especially in these difficult circumstances in which the self-evident rights have become the priority of the citizens' demands. A decent living, access to electricity, medicine, and a loaf of bread. And this is what the citizens seek, and what we seek to secure, God willing, if the government is formed.
Mirati made the comments after he met with different political groups for consultations on forming his future cabinet. Mirati added there was unanimous agreement from all blocs and lawmakers on the need to speed up the process of cabinet formation and rescue Lebanon from the current crisis.
Lebanese Prime Minister designate Najib Mikati said he hoped he can regain the trust of the people in the role of the state. He also vowed to meet with President Michel Aoun regularly in order to speed up the formation of the new government.
There was full unanimity on demand and swiftness in the formation of the new government. And after today's session, I briefed President Aoun on the outcome, and I always visit the presidential palace in order to achieve the government's formation as soon as possible.
Mikati spoke after a day of non-binding meetings with Lebanese lawmakers who stated their views after separate consultations. Free Patriotic Movement declared it will not be taking part in the next government, but will offer all the necessary facilitations and support for a quick formation.
We're starting from scratch. We're starting something new, no baggage. No one is carrying any historical disagreements between the parties. That's what we heard from the designated prime minister, and we hope that that will be reflected in the coming future, within hours or days at least, that this will make a difference.
Prime Minister designate stressed that he has the foreign support necessary to begin economic reforms. One member of parliament told Press TV that when they asked about this support, Mikati stressed that France has given him assurances that after the formation of the cabinet, they will give all assistance to resolve the financial and economic crisis. However, this assistance will not be without interest.
No foreign country would give assistance for free. It has its own interest in mind as well. It's only natural when France gives aid to Lebanon, it has ambitions. If France assists in rebuilding the port, it could be the main future authority in the port of Beirut and could be managing the trade and commerce from Europe to the entire Arab world. If it rebuilds the electricity sector, it will also be a good investment for French companies. And at the same time, Lebanon is in drastic need of that assistance.
The main concern for all sides is salvaging the country's economy, which has been described by the World Bank as one of the world's worst since the 1850s. After initial meetings with lawmakers, the real political bargaining begins for the formation of the government. This in itself could prove to be controversial, with Mikate stressing the need for keeping to the French initiative, opponents stressing the need for adhering to the National Charter of Confessional Representation. Mariam Saleh, Beirut.
Tunisia's biggest political party, Ennahda, has called for dialogue to get the country out of the crisis sparked by the president's dismissals of the government and parliament. The party, in a statement, urged unity among Tunisians and rejected calls for internal strife. That's a day after supporters and opponents of President Kais Saied clashed outside parliament, leaving several people injured. People took to the streets following a call from Parliament Speaker Rashid Ghannouchi, who was infuriated over Saeed's decision. The president has, however, rejected the criticism, calling his move constitutional. On Sunday, Saeed dismissed Prime Minister Hisham al-Mashishi, as well as suspended the parliament for a month. His decision that has followed violent protests across the North American nation over the government's handling of the COVID-19 pandemic and the country's ailing economy. Political commentator Said Zulfagar said external pressure from certain countries has also played a role in Tunisia's political crisis.
What we mustn't forget is that behind the scenes, there is Turkey and Qatar who have been bolstering and boosting this government against the president. So there are external influences. The president himself was in Egypt in April for 3 days and probably also got advice from the Egyptian president on how to deal with this matter. So there are external influences, but there are internal influences which are very serious. The tourism, which is the main producer, the main income in the country since the COVID emergency, totally disappeared, practically disappeared. So IMF, the International Monetary Fund, is offering to bail them out, but on condition that they cut down on subsidies to the population and fire a lot of people from government.
People have gathered in the Italian capital, Rome, to demonstrate against the government's new coronavirus restrictions. Protesters voiced anger at the so-called COVID-19 Green Pass. Certificate shows if someone has been vaccinated, tested negative, or recently recovered from the coronavirus. The pass will be needed for access to many venues, such as gyms and cinemas, as of August 6th. France also introduced a similar scheme that has sparked widespread protests. Critics say such certificates amount to mandatory vaccination and infringe on people's freedom. The UK has registered 131 more coronavirus-related deaths, the highest daily fatalities since March. The new figure pushes the total death toll in the UK to nearly 130,000. The country's daily cases also rose by over 23,000 to more than 5.7 million. However, the daily infections tally has seen a downward trend compared to last Tuesday, when the country registered over 46,000 cases. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Boris Johnson has urged citizens to remain calm and not jump at us to premature conclusions about the figures.
I've noticed that obviously that we're 6 days into some better figures, but it is very, very important that we don't allow ourselves to run away with premature conclusions about this. Step four of the opening up only took place a few days ago. People have got to remain very cautious, and that remains the approach of the government.
The UK eased all curbs on July the 19th, despite a rise in new cases at levels not seen since mid-January. The move came despite criticism by international experts. They said that the decision is a threat to the world and provides a fertile ground for the emergence of vaccine-resistant COVID variants. The number of people contracting COVID-19 in EU countries continues to rise sharply. The Delta variant of the virus, first identified in India, is the main driver of health and economic concerns in the 27-nation bloc. Jerome Hughes is in Brussels.
More and more people in the EU are congregating indoors. The highly contagious Delta variant of COVID-19 is spreading like wildfire in countries like France and Spain. More people are also travelling within the EU. Citizens in Brussels have been sharing their thoughts on the Delta variant.
I don't know where the cases come from, if it's a coffee restaurant or just meeting in our house.
When I see how people are behaving sometimes, yeah, I'm not surprised.
The European Central Bank, which manages the euro, says economic confidence is being undermined.
The pandemic continues to cast a shadow, especially as the Delta variant constitutes a growing source of uncertainty.
On Monday, EU finance ministers rubber-stamped COVID-19 recovery funding for four additional nations in the 27-country bloc.
Croatia, Cyprus, Lithuania and Slovenia. Now more than half of national plans is adopted.
However, critics say the billions of euro being administered to national governments will result in citizens being saddled with decades more austerity because there is too much emphasis on loans rather than grants. According to analysts, EU leaders are harming the bloc's economy through their foreign policy. Sanctions are inhibiting trade. Economists say the Iranian market represents a big opportunity. It can be availed of if current efforts to save the JCPOA Iran nuclear deal succeed. We have been speaking to the head of the European Parliament's Iran delegation about the subject via Skype. She believes the agreement will be reinstated soon.
Many people in Iran say, oh, again and again and again. We have not a good partner on this side. This is one of the impacts of this horrible, stupid policy of Trump.
The International Labour Organization, ILO, warns an additional 25 million jobs could be lost globally before the end of this year due to the coronavirus. However, the ILO says if we see an internationally coordinated policy response, the number of people losing their jobs could be much lower. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
The top U.S. health authority says in areas where COVID-19 is surging, all people, even those who have been fully vaccinated, should resume wearing masks indoors. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said the new decision was a result of the so-called breakthrough cases, that is, infections in fully vaccinated people. The organization noted that while such cases remain rare, those infected have the potential to transmit at the same capacity of an unvaccinated person. President Joe Biden said the announcement showed America needs to do better on vaccination. Infections are increasing in the U.S. due to the highly contagious Delta variant. 49% of the U.S. population is fully vaccinated, but the vaccination rate has significantly slowed in the past weeks. Campaigners are furious with the British government's plan to bring stop and search policy back into wider usage in England and Wales. Many say the plan will disproportionately impact black and minority ethnic communities. Ahmed Kabbalah is in London.
The British government has decided to expand blanket stop and search powers under a new plan to beat crime. Measures unveiled on Tuesday include changes to police powers to allow searching people without suspicion in areas where they believe violence could break out under the Section 60 Criminal Justice and Public Order Act.
Across all stop and searches powers, black people are nine times more likely to be stopped than white people. But under the Section 60 Act, that rate is even higher at a whopping 18 times. Moreover, the research data shows that in 99% of Section 60 searches, no weapon is found.
Former President the National Black Police Association said,
"This government has abandoned any pretense of a desire for a fair and just society. particularly insofar as black people are concerned. First of all, the efficacy of such an approach is not proven. Moreover, it's counterproductive in that it alienates the community when the support of the community is critical.
His thoughts were echoed by Suleiman Lee, a community activist from Black Child Promotions, who himself has been harassed by the police.
There's always going to be conflict at street level. There's disorganized crime, then there's organized crime. And as I said before, black youth cannot facilitate any criminal underworld. They can only participate. A lot of black youth, they're serving time, even though we're 3% of the population, according to the 2011 census, we're disproportionately represented in the prisons at Her Majesty's pleasure.
The government announcement came 2 months after the Criminal Justice Alliance, a network of 160 organisations, called for the power to be repealed, arguing that Section 60 had led to thousands of innocent people being unnecessarily stopped and searched every year, with the number of searches rising from 622 in 2016 to 2017 to more than 18,000 in 2019 to 2020. It seems unlikely that Priti Patel will bow to pressure from campaigners after already dismissing the criticisms levied against the plans, much like she dismissed the sentiments behind the Black Lives Matter protests that swept throughout the UK. Ahmed Cabello, London.
The European Union warns Turkey against opening up the abandoned Cypriot town of Varosha, slamming the plan as a breach of UN resolutions. A statement issued by EU Foreign Policy Chief Josep Borrell condemned, quote, Turkey's unilateral steps and the unacceptable announcements. The decision to open the former resort was announced by the Turkish Cypriot leader and the Turkish president during the latter's last week visit to Cyprus. Recep Tayyip Erdogan insisted on a two-state solution for the island. Erdogan's remarks also drew condemnation from Greece and the UN Security Council. Cyprus is divided between the Greek Cypriot-run Republic of Cyprus and the Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus. Well, that's my time.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
زیارت قدیر. In the name of God, the All Merciful, the All Compassionate. Hello, dear listeners. Since we are passing through the 10 auspicious days of Wilayat, marking the completion of divine favors and the perfection of faith on the historic plain of Qadir Khum, where on the 18th of Zilhijjah in 10 AH, as per God's commandment, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of Allah upon his progeny, while returning from the farewell pilgrimage, declared Imam Ali, peace be upon him, as the vicegerent, we present to you the ziyara, or standard form of salutation for the commander of the faithful on this occasion. Because of its length and its thought-provoking content, we have divided the Ziyarat al-Ghadir into four parts. The translation was undertaken by Dr. Ali Ghuli Gharai, director of the English section of the Quranic Translation Institute in the Holy City of Qom, who had earlier translated the Holy Quran into English. Please stay tuned for the first part. It is recommended to perform a bath, and after putting on clean clothes, one should turn towards the holy tomb of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, and recite, Peace on Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, the seal of the prophets, the chief of the emissaries, the elect of the Lord of all the worlds, who was entrusted by Allah with his revelations and his prime commandments, and who is the seal of the previous prophecies and inaugurator of what is yet to come, and is the custodian of all that. May Allah's mercy and his blessings, bounties, and greetings be upon him. Peace on the prophets of Allah, his apostles, archangels, and his righteous servants. Peace be on you, O Commander of the Faithful, Chief of the Legatees, heir to the knowledge of the prophets, friend of the Lord of all the worlds, and my guardian and guardian of all the faithful. May Allah's mercy and his blessings be upon you. Peace on you, O my guardian, O Commander of the Faithful, O Allah's trustee on his earth, his envoy amongst his creatures, and his conclusive testament to his servants. Peace on you, O Allah's true religion and his straight path. Peace on you, O great tiding, the one about which they differ and concerning which they will be questioned. Peace on you, O Commander of the Faithful. You had faith in Allah while others worshipped other gods. You affirmed the truth while they gainsaid it. You waged jihad for the sake of Allah while they shrank away from it. And you worshipped Allah, putting your exclusive faith in him, bearing hardships patiently for the sake of God until your last breath. Indeed, may Allah's curse be upon the wrongdoers. Peace on you, O Master of Muslims, Leader of the Faithful, Imam of the God-weary, and Leader of the Devout, and may Allah's mercy and blessings be upon you. I affirm that you are the brother of the Prophet of Allah, his legatee, heir to his knowledge, trustee of his Sharia, his successor within his Ummah, the first to have faith in Allah and to affirm what was revealed to his prophet. I affirm that he communicated whatever Allah had revealed concerning you, that he complied with his orders and made your wilaya and obedience to you mandatory for his ummah by taking from them the pledge of allegiance to you and giving you a preeminent authority over the faithful, such as Allah had given him. Thereafter, he invoked Allah to be witness over them, and he said, "Have I not communicated this matter to you?" And they replied, "By Allah, yes." Whereat he said, "Allah be witness, and you suffice as witness and judge between your servants." So may Allah's curse be upon those who disputed your authority after having acknowledged it, and broke their covenant after they had pledging it solemnly. I testify that you fulfilled the covenant of Allah, the Most High, and that Allah will fulfill his covenant with you, and whoever fulfills the covenant he has made with Allah, he will give him a great reward. And I testify that you are the true commander of the faithful, whose authority has been proclaimed by God's revelation, and the Prophet made the Ummah pledge itself to that. I testify that you, your uncle, and your brother made a deal with Allah in exchange for your souls, whereat he revealed these ayahs concerning you, stating, Indeed, Allah has built from the faithful their souls and their possessions for paradise to be theirs. They fight in the way of Allah, kill and are killed, a promise binding upon him in the Torah and the Evangel and the Quran. And who is truer to his promise than Allah? So rejoice in the bargain you have made with him, and that is the great success. The faithful are penitent, devout, celebrators of Allah's praise, wayfarers who bow, prostrate, bid what is right, and forbid what is wrong, and keep Allah's bounds, and give good news to the faithful. O Commander of the Faithful, I affirm that those who have doubts about you do not have faith in the trusted Prophet, and that those who put others on a par with you deviate from the upright religion which has been approved for us by the Lord of all the worlds, who perfected it with your wilaya on the day of Qadir. I affirm that you are the one who is meant by the words of the Almighty and the All-Merciful. This indeed is my straight path, so follow it, and do not follow other ways, for they will separate you from his way. By God, those who follow others besides you have gone astray and misled others, and those who are hostile toward you deviate from the truth. O Allah, we have heard your command, and we obey and follow your straight path. So guide us, our Lord. Do not make our hearts swerve after you have guided us, and enable us to be of those who are grateful for your blessings. I testify that you always opposed self-seeking impulses and were committed to God-wariness, that you were well able to suppress your rage and pardon and forgive the people, that you were displeased when God was disobeyed and were pleased when God was obeyed, that you did what you were enjoined with, observed what was committed to your care, preserved what you were entrusted with, communicated that which you were charged with, and awaited what you had been promised. I testify that you did not conciliate with your opponents out of humiliation and weakness, nor your restraint in obtaining your right was due to fear, nor your desisting from fighting against the usurpers of your right was on account of evasion, nor did you express approval of that which was contrary to what God approves on account of laxity, nor did you falter for what befell you in the way of Allah, neither did you weaken nor abase yourself by failing to restore your right out of caution to avoid danger or harm. God forbid that you be such. Rather, when treated unjustly, you resigned yourself to your Lord's will, leaving your matter to him, and you admonished them, but they would not be admonished. You advised them, and they would not take advice, and you called on them to fear Allah, but they would not fear him. Commander of the Faithful, I testify that you waged jihad for the sake of Allah, a jihad that is worthy of him, until Allah summoned you to his vicinage and took you away by his will, and he took a testimony against your enemies for assassinating you, so that it may be a proof in your favor and against them, aligned with the conclusive proof that you have against all his creation. Peace on you, O Commander of the Faithful. You worshipped Allah with total dedication and struggled patiently for his sake. You sacrificed yourself while putting your trust in him. You acted in accordance with his scripture, followed the sunnah of his prophet, maintained the prayer, paid zakat, bade what is right and forbade what is wrong, to the utmost extent of your capacity, seeking that which is with Allah, desiring that which he has promised, being indifferent to adversities, without showing weakness in hardships, and being unflinching in the face of battles. Those who attribute to you any quality other than that lie and fabricate falsehoods against you, and woe to those who have swerved from you. Certainly you waged jihad for the sake of Allah, a worthy jihad, suffered patiently all the torments with a patience sprung from trust in Allah, and you were the first of those who believed in Allah, prayed to him, struggled, and were the first ones to openly proclaim their faith in him in the house of idolatry and in a land filled with error, where Satan was worshipped openly. You are the one who said, "The large number of people surrounding me does not increase my might and honor, nor their forsaking me makes me feel lonely and desolate, and that if all mankind were to forsake and betray me, I will not feel humiliated." You held fast to Allah, and you enjoyed honor and might, and you chose the hereafter over this world and led an ascetic life. Allah strengthened you and guided you. He made you dedicated in your faith and chose you. Hence, there was neither any contradiction in your actions, nor any inconsistency in your statements, nor any dissonance in your states. You did not make any false claims and fabrications against Allah, nor you had any greed for worldly vanities, nor were you defiled by sins. You have never ceased to be on a manifest proof from your Lord, and a conviction in all your affairs, and you guided others to the truth and to the straight path. I affirm with a testimony that is honest, and swear by Allah, with an oath that is genuine, that Muhammad and his household, may Allah bless them, are the leaders of the creation, and that you are my master and the guardian of the faithful, and that you are a servant of Allah and his wali and brother of the Prophet and his heir and legatee. I affirm what the Prophet said to you, "By him who has sent me with the truth, those who deny you do not believe in me, and those who repudiate you do not acknowledge faith in Allah. Those who turn their back on you go astray, and those who are not guided by you will not be guided to Allah or to me." And that is the meaning of the words of my Lord, Almighty and Glorious. Indeed, I am an all-forgiving Lord toward those who repent, become faithful, and act righteously, and then walk on the right path of your wilayah. That ends the first part of the famous ziyara, or salutation to Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on the auspicious occasion of Ghadir Khan. Please tune in again tomorrow to hear the second part. Goodbye. forethought.
Hello, dear friends, and how about some mind-stimulating words from Imam Ali al-Naqi al-Hadi, peace be upon him, whose birthday anniversary we marked yesterday. Do not feel secure from those who disgrace their own personalities.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
تمام ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که
انسان احترام میگذاره همه این ارزش ها در علی ابن ابی طالب جمعه.
Human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
Universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام إن للقلوب إقبالا وإدبارا فإذا أقبلت فاحملوها على النوافل وإذا أدبرت فاقتصروا بها على الفرائض.
Imam Ali said, sometimes the hearts move forward and sometimes they move backward. When they move forward, get them to perform the optional, the nawafil, as well. But when they move backward, keep them confined to the obligatories, the fara'is only. Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the programs To My Brother, and we were discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Dear friends, one of the intriguing lessons which we learn from the truly universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam is this concept that the world is just a mirage. Now, it is well known that Imam Ali alayhi salam, he feared and he disliked and he refrained from the ornaments of the world, the glamour and the beauties and the extravagances that the world had to offer were rejected by Imam Ali alayhi salam. And we find that Imam Ali rejected these ornaments and this glamour and this extravagance of the world to such an extent that in the present day and even in the past, we find that many of the Sufi sects and the Sufi schools of thought and the Sufi practices relate and take their chain back to Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Now, we're not saying that the Sufi school of thought or the Sufi practices are correct, as to say, of course, it is the Shia 12er Islam which is the correct and true path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it is interesting that this concept of removing one's self from the world and from extravagances is something which was taught to us by Imam Ali alayhi salam. And is this not true, dear friends? Is the world not just a mere mirage, something which we can only temporarily enjoy? And for the most part, we end up spending our life, our energy, our strength, our willpower, our determination, our life, our age, our health. We spend all of these things in the pursuit of what? Of wealth, of money, so that we can have the ornaments of the world, so that we can have the luxuries of the world, so that we can have the extravagances of the world. But seldom do we think about the life of the hereafter, which is eternal, which lasts forever, unlike this temporary home on this earth, in this temporary life. A very profound lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
IRIB English Radio. You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
تمام ارزش ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general whether a muslim non-muslim or even a disbeliever respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib this means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
تبقى عيني بدمع مشتاقيا قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبيب لها ولا راغي
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridvi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in chapter 3 of the Quran in verse number 33 makes an announcement where he says inna Allah astafa, verily God has chosen Adam and then Nuh and then the family of Abraham, and then Imran, Alal Alameen, over the rest of the people in the world. When you look at this verse of the Quran, you come to realize that all human beings have been created by Almighty God, but they are not equal in the eyes of God. As far as their status is concerned, you know, when it comes to the prophets of God, the messengers of God, those who represent Him in conveying His message, they are at a higher, you know, status than other human beings. I would like to take this opportunity to actually talk about the special status that God has given to Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Prophet. Let me, you know, just read to you two out of so many narrations, authentic ones that we have from the books of the Sunni Muslims. One is from Abdullah ibn Abbas, when somebody asked him, can you say something about Ali to us? So it seems this is the days, latter days, when Ali was no more alive. And so Abdullah ibn Abbas says, let me narrate to you a saying of the Prophet. Inna Rasulullah amara bil abwab ash-shari'a fil masjid fasuddat. He says, one day the Prophet gave the command that all the doors opening inside the mosque, fasuddat, it should be, he ordered it to be closed, illa babu Ali, except the door of Ali. فَإِنَّهُمْ وَجَدُوا مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Others who were told to close their doors, they felt a little bit bad about it. And so when the Prophet heard about all these complaints, he actually gathered them in the mosque. And he gave a speech there. Different narrations give, you know, different parts of it, but it must have been a very brief speech. This is the basically the main part of it, where he says, he's now addressing the Muslims. He says, بَلَغَنِي أَنَّكُمْ وَجَدْتُمْ مِنْ صَدِّ أَبْوَابِكُمْ وَفَتْحِ بَابِ عَلِي. He says, I've been told that some of you feel bad that I have closed your doors opening inside the mosque, and I have allowed the door of Ali to be opened. وَإِنِّي وَاللَّهِ مَا سَدَدْتُهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ نَفْسِي. The Prophet says to them that by God, I have not closed any door by my own will. إِنَّ عَلَىٰ عَبْدٌ مَعْمُورٌ. I am the servant of God. I was told to convey the message, and I conveyed the message. أُمِرْتُ بِشَيْءٍ فَفَعَلْتُ. I was commanded to do something, and I did it. In it tabi illa ma yuha ilayya. The Prophet says, I don't do anything but what is inspired and revealed to me by Almighty God.
Listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
light.
Nostalgia is in the air in Paris as streets of the city are enlivened, that is, with old vehicles. The French capital has hosted an annual parade called Summer Crossing of Paris. It brought together over 700 vintage cars, motorbikes, buses, and tractors from all over Europe. The route started from a Vincennes Castle east of Paris and ended in the southwest of the city. Drivers crossed the iconic monuments such as the Eiffel Tower and the Arc de Triomphe.
It is extraordinary because the automobile industry heritage and the Parisian architectural heritage, which is obviously absolutely fabulous, echo each other. We are driving through all of Paris's most beautiful squares.
The 14th version of the event drew hundreds of enthusiastic visitors from across France. People were asked to wear masks and keep social distancing because of COVID-19. A mesmerizing hot air balloon festival has got underway in the U.S. state of New Jersey. The sky was littered with nearly 100 beautifully colored hot air balloons in different shapes, captivating every viewer. The awe-inspiring event brought together COVID-weary citizens to experience joy and jubilation amid health restrictions. Pleasant weather made the experience all the more enjoyable. The 38th annual New Jersey Lottery Festival of Ballooning is likely to be the largest outdoor entertainment event in the Tri-State area since the pandemic began. Tehran municipality has inaugurated an art garden that puts on display Iran's art and culture. As Youssef Jalali reports, the cultural facility aims to reconnect visitors with Iran's rich past amid increasing preoccupation with modern lives.
Sit back and enjoy the beauty of Iran's ancient culture. In Kushk Art Garden, located in the heart of Tehran, visitors get to learn about Iran's music, literature, painting, and calligraphy, far from the hustle and bustle of modern life. Kushk hosts Iranian artists who create masterpieces that have their roots in thousands of years ago.
Miniature painting has been around in Iran since thousands of years ago. In miniature, we paint flat images with a myriad of details. We avoid adding shades to make it as flat as possible, since in the past, Iranians believed that divine light gives shape to everything.
Metal engraving first stepped into existence 7,000 years ago in Iran. It is the art of incising decorations and metals. In this workshop, I will be available every day for visitors to see how I can turn metals into beautiful handicraft.
Kushk is part of a bigger project dubbed Art Garden. The cultural complex consists of an art lake, poem and literature house, music house, and Kushk Garden, each trying to promote an aspect of Iran's culture. Tehran municipality says it inaugurated the peaceful place, for it says cultural identity has been overshadowed by modern technology.
This precious place was a much-needed initiative to preserve the Iranian art and culture. As time goes by, technology gets more and more intertwined with our daily lives, and our genuine culture slips into oblivion. We need to have such cultural centers that safeguard our cultural heritage.
The Art Garden is situated on Abbasabad Hills in downtown Tehran. In recent years, the area has turned into a tourist attraction that houses structures that combine modern technology with ancient culture, such as this large pedestrian overpass called Tabiat Bridge and the Middle East's largest planetarium, dubbed Mina Dome.
Kushk will be the last piece